Good afternoon, everyone. Let the record indicate it is 5:01 PM and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee has been called to order. I need approval of the minutes of September 22nd for the Finance Committee agenda, please.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We have for the consent calendar, again, I need a motion for the minutes on September 22nd.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstain? None? Okay. So we are moving on. You can't hear me? That's, this is the new Ed. I was talking soft, so nobody would be upset that I'm hollering or anything like that. And now you're telling me you can't hear me. Okay, thank you for that, Director. Okay, I guess perhaps in the interest of time, we'll just rock and roll. The first item, 2026-218, found on page one, IMC software, sir?
Question. Since there are nothing over the 50, do we get to pick them, or we're just going to go through all of them again?
You know what? That's a great point, Councilman. I just started to get used to, you know, pretty heavy bid package, but that's good. Thank you. No, so we do. We don't have anything over 50. So anyone on the committee have any items that you would like to be pulled out?
No, not good.
I'm good.
Councilman Kirby, any items on the bid package you'd like to have pulled out? Any items on the bid package that you would like to have pulled out? They're all under 50,000. Okay.
And there's nobody on the right side.
Yeah, there's no one there. I do have several. I have 2026-174 Zamboni blade sharpening. Item number four, State of Rhode Island premium diesel exhaust. Item number five, Pace 9 Munis. Item 6, 2026-200, purchase 25-meter lane lines. Item number 8, 2026-131, repairs to H116. And I believe the administration is going to be asking to hold item number 9. Okay, the Chief of Staff, let the record indicate the Chief of Staff is nodding yes, so I do not need to call that out. Okay, so if we could start with item number 3, that's the first item. It's the Zamboni blade sharpening. Okay, we can do that right now. On item 2023-458.
Does the public want to pull anything off either? That's the part that the solicitor's saying.
Oh, okay. Any members of the public have any comments, questions regarding engineering services or any item they would like to have pulled out? Anyone from the public would like to have any items pulled out of the bid package? Okay. I'll get a PCR on number 9 when we get down to it. Okay. Item 2026-174, Zamboni Blade Shop Names. Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
Christy, this item, obviously, you rescinded the one prior. On the award for Zam to go to AccuGrind, it appears to me that this is increased from a $8,000 for 2 years to $20,000 for 2 years?
Yes.
And the reason for that?
The $8,000 bid was just for a one-year period with that particular vendor. This is a two-year bid, and it covers two facilities.
No, I know that, but the prior bid was $8,000 for 1 year. So for 2 years, I'm looking at $16,000, but you're asking to change it to $20,000.
Correct. We have another facility coming online that requires Zamboni blades.
Okay. I requested some additional information on this yesterday, and I did get it today. The thing that got me confused with what I received today is you are looking to change the vendor from Valley Machine Knife to AccuGrind. And in the document that was sent to me today, it says the department is requesting, this goes back to, by the way, November 13th of 2024. The document is requesting an exception to notice for the Valley Machine Knife to Service Sharpening of the Zamboni Blades, Thayer, Warburton Arenas. The current vendor, AccuGrind, has a facility fire and is not resuming the sharpening portion and has sold off all their accounts to Valley Machine Knife. Now, that was in 2024. Has AccuGrind been resurrected?
Yes.
So they are a new company?
No, it's the same company that we have used previously for many years. They did have a facility fire and couldn't sharpen any Zamboni blades for anybody. So Valley Machine Knife picked up all their accounts. AccuGrind is back in business doing some Zamboni blades. They submitted a bid. They were the only one that submitted a bid for our Zamboni blades for the next cycle. So we are requesting to award to them.
Are these blades stainless steel?
They're steel blades. They're 77 inches long. They have a particular bolt pattern for our Zambonis. So yes, they are specialty.
And this bid with Valley Machine, this document that again I got today says that bid expired on June 30th. Of this year?
No, that was for when we had AccuGrind. The quote unquote bid that we have with Valley Machine Knife was a 56.6 because we were in a position where we needed our Zamboni blade sharpened and our vendor had a fire. So we requested a 56.6 for 1 year, which was awarded by the council. Now we have, the bid is expiring in December. We've had some issues with the quality of the blades that we get back from Valley Machine as far as sharpening, and they're back covered in rust. And so because AccuGrind has submitted a bid for our next cycle, two-year cycle, we're requesting to award them now to resume their service and terminate our ties with Valley Machine Knife. So okay. The bid will actually be like 2 years and 2 months.
Okay. I can completely understand your frustration with this other company. It's amazing to me how you can get blades back that are shorter than what you had given them. That's crazy. Okay. All right, Christy, thank you. That answers that question. As I said, when I got the rest of the information, it became confusing where the current vendor you're looking for a year ago was out of business. Okay. Next item found on page. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the council? Hearing none. Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Hearing none. We will move on to item number four, State of Rhode Island Premium Diesel. That is found on page 12. I'm sorry, Major, we couldn't hear you.
Good afternoon, Councilman Robert Hart for the Police Department.
Just bear with me 1 minute, Major. Major, what did you spend in this item last year?
Last year, we spent $6,881.33.
And this is saying that you're looking to do this new bid from the date of the award. What was the date of the previous contract? Or when did that previous contract expire?
The current contract expires on the 30th of November.
30th of November? Okay, I guess it's a terminology issue here. I don't know why it says what it says. Okay, next item. Oh, any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is PACE 9 units found on page 17.
Good evening, Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request under 612 to increase bid 2026-010 by $5,500, bringing the total of the bid to $16,495.70. The through date of 6/30/26 would remain the same. This request is for implementation services for the asset management system that we own with Munis. It is lightly used throughout the city, and the police department has come forth and said this is exactly what they're looking for. They looked at the features of it, and we are anxious to get them up and running on it.
Director, what other departments are currently using this?
We have had attempts in DPW. We've actually used it slightly within the IT department, but we haven't gotten the leverage. It's the reason we need the implementation services. It's a fairly heavy lift on implementing it. Once you do it, the ability to generate work orders and have the workflow associated with asset maintenance and things like that is phenomenal, but it takes a fairly large commitment up front. So our thought is if we can get the police department, who are anxious about it, to commit the resources to do it, we can get it up and running. That should give us enough experience that we can start to encourage other departments to take advantage of it. WSA, by the way, is also somebody who started to look at it.
So this software, does the city already possess it for the sewer authority, water authority, DPW, fire department? Do we already have that software in place, and it's just a question of training staff how to use it?
Two pieces. That is certainly the first piece is, yes, we own it. We pay maintenance on it. It's ours for the time being. We don't have, there's no extra fee for other people utilizing it. The setup piece of it is the only piece that was missing. Getting people set up, meaning that your assets are entered into the system. To be able to control them, you have to give them unique numbers and put in the data basically into the system. Then the training piece goes along with it. But like I said, once again, we're pretty comfortable that if we can get police up and running on it, kind of cut our teeth on that. That should give us enough experience that we can start to roll it out, even if in small pockets within a department for a particular asset set, parts in DPW garage, maybe, I don't know.
So when we use the term inventory, is it safe to assume that inventory means anything? And I'm going to direct my questions because this is specifically for the police department. Inventory would mean vehicles, radios, you say ammunition here, so they could keep an inventory down to the very last round that they have on the shelf, every vehicle in the lot, whether it be usable or not usable, et cetera. It's that sophisticated of a software?
Yes. It needs a unique, it has to be something that you have a unique identifier for, made up or otherwise. You have to be willing to then maintain it. So as those assets are moved, used, depleted, whatever, you have to make the appropriate entries. But then, yes, it would keep track of the inventory, set minimum buy levels. I believe there's a workflow component to it that'll actually set up a requisition for purchasing. If you have a minimum stock level that you, with a minimum buy, you can set it up that it'll actually generate the requisition or at least recommend the requisition.
Would this software also be able to track maintenance on vehicles?
Yes.
All maintenance, like oil changes,
right,
tires,
preventative maintenance,
batteries, everything, right?
Correct. You set up a schedule to say, this is asset 1, 2, 3, 4, which is a car. We're going to do an oil change every 2 months. You set those dates up, a work order is generated, it goes into a workflow. All a workflow means is there's a notification that comes and says you have work to do. You can print out the work order, hand it to whoever's actually doing it, and they complete it, check it off, goes in, says you were done, keeps track of that maintenance.
And in the absence of having this software or implementing the software we already have, then whatever tracking of inventory or maintenance or whatever, it's left up to an individual in a respective department to do this manually. Is that pretty
much? I don't want to claim manually because I'm not familiar with all the methodologies they use, but there's some other method they're using, be it manual, piece of paper, tablet, Excel spreadsheet, other application that I'm unaware of. Could be anything. I really don't know.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Yeah. Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you for that.
All right, thank you.
Moving on to item number 6, purchase of 25 meter lane lines.
Easy for you to say.
I know. Hi, Christy.
Hello.
Christy, these lane lines, it divides the lanes into pools. So how long do these typically last?
I mean, they're in chlorinated water most all the time, except for the shallow end. The deep end's usually laned off. I would say somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 10 years, you know, give or take.
And basically, they're a nylon braided type of line.
They're plastic, round plastic.
Okay.
And then it has like the rope through the center.
And you're looking to purchase 2 sets. Why?
We have a 50 meter pool. They're 25 meters long, so we have 5 lanes and a bridge in the middle. So if we have to move the bridge for a swim meet, we have to be able to put the lanes all the way down the full length of the pool. So right now we're looking to replace 5 of them. Well, ultimately, I'd like to replace all 10. Just because it's somewhat early in the fiscal year, I'm not prepared to commit $5,000 to lane lines. I'd like to buy half of them now, and then further into the fiscal year, maybe around February, see where we stand budget-wise to see if we can get the other five, which is why this is 1 year from date of award.
So you're going to purchase them five-unit minimum. Are you using five in the pool, or
yes,
are you using 10?
Five every day. There's five in the deep end.
Okay. And you said that it lasts 10 years, roughly.
Give or take, you know, depending on how they're handled, you know, God, for, you know, I mean, anything can happen. It's like anything
sure,
else. It
of course,
can break.
Yeah. But assuming, you know, no, nothing crazy happens, I still don't understand why two instead of one set of five, if it's going to give you 10 years of use.
We have a 50-meter pool.
A what, please?
50-meter pool.
Got it. Okay. Okay. Got it. Yeah, I get that. Okay. Thank you, Christy.
Just trying to help.
Yeah, I'm looking at 25-meter, 25-meter. So that's why I asked what I asked. Thank you. Thank you for that, Christy. I'm all set, Councilman. Item number 8, 2026-131, repairs to H116. That's found on page 34. Oh, sorry. See, I'm just kind of, I'm like so excited. We only have a few items here. I'm just kind of forgetting the, any questions from you guys? That's the committee.
Oh, I should know.
Any questions from members of the council?
I used my calculator for that. So
I can take it. Well deserved. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Okay. Now moving on to item number 8, 2026, found on page 34. Christy, one of the things that, actually there's a few things that I had concerns with, and they were actually, most of them came up today as I'm looking into this even further. One of the questions I'm going to ask could have been avoided if the information would have been provided to us in the package originally as opposed to today. And that is Massachusetts sales tax. We're being charged for these, for the repairs here, at least for the materials. Wait a minute. This says total labor, $3,344. And then they have total segment miscellaneous. So is it accurate that the sales tax of $31.25 is applicable only to the 500 total segment miscellaneous?
Yes, the sales tax, Massachusetts sales tax does apply to us because the work is not being done in Rhode Island. It is being
right.
done in Massachusetts. So the only way around that would be to have them come to our facility and do the field service work, which would be far more expensive than us sending the machine to their facility in Massachusetts.
Okay. In defense of the purchasing department, it was challenged about the sales tax, and that was a response that was received by the city.
Yes, and we've run into this before.
I know you did. And
this happened when Pat Paschke was our purchasing agent.
Right. And again, to the credit of the purchasing department, it was requested of Massachusetts to send her the state law that governs this and gives them the authority to do that. And in the document that I received today, apparently they never did that.
I can't speak to that.
Please, if the finance director could come up on that, please.
Francis Gomez, Purchasing Director. So if I understood you correctly, what you're saying is that I had said that they need to produce the document. I always, that's like my number one line when they're trying to charge me tax. But because I did reach out to the city solicitor, he did confirm that we do pay tax in Massachusetts. And that was in the previous packet, but because this is a 612, we only attach the resolutions from the previous approval to the 612 request here.
Okay. The other... The other items I have questions on is, in this invoice, which is what you're asking to be awarded for $3,875.25, it says flat rate miscellaneous, $500. What is that?
So that's anything that they use, like shop supplies, you know, rags, sprays, cleaner, zip ties, anything like that. It's, you know, miscellaneous stuff that they don't.
Okay, let's see if I've missed anything. So on page in our book, no, actually, it's not in our book. It is what I have for miscellaneous items. And bear with me because I'm looking for where the pages are that go along with the items. I'm going to have to circle back with you on that, Christy, because I don't think that I marked down any shop supplies, and I can't find the email that was sent to me, I believe, earlier today. So far, I've only been able to come up with $313. I come up with one item at $243, another one on page 94 of $5, and on page 65, $313, but
I'm not sure what pages you're referring to in the bid package.
I got it. So these are the documents that were sent to me today.
Yes, that was the repair that was previously approved by the council at the August 18th meeting.
Right. Councilman, could you add these numbers as I'm mentioning, please?
Hold on. Go ahead.
So I have one item on the first page, the bill, environmental services, $28.17.
Yep.
I have flat rate pots on the second part of this invoice for $243. On the third page, I have flat rate miscellaneous of $5. On the following page, I have flat rate of $65. And on the last page, environmental services of $75.77. What is that total? Okay, that's a total of $416.94. Now, it may not sound like a ton of money, but for me, it's about accuracy. And when I look at the items that are identified in here, unless someone can come up with something different, I don't see where they have, thank you, Councilman, it's a difference of $83.06. And I don't see anything that I've missed.
The document under review in your bid...
Councilman Napa, I'm sorry, Christy. Go ahead.
The document that's under review in the bid package tonight is a service estimate. It's not a final bill.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, the 500 that's on this for flat rate miscellaneous, this is not a running cumulative total, including what the councilman just...
Correct.
So but this is expected, like, new expenditures on possible items that may be needed to complete this repair?
Correct, but this repair could also... This one that we're reviewing this evening could also... will be very possible. It will be different because this is only an estimate to fabricate the mount for the transmission. This is not a final invoice that we're paying.
So, in addition to this mount that they're charging us, they could be charging us even more?
It's not likely. I wouldn't expect that.
I know, but it wasn't.
But we have to present something to the council to get this repair going. So okay. this is the document that they gave us.
So when I look at their invoice or their service estimate, I stand corrected, their service estimate, it says down below, remove and install transmission. Repair includes all labor to disconnect, remove, reinstall, and reconnect transmission. So what is it that they missed when they gave you this estimate to do this work?
The mount for the transmission, when they took it off, it needs to be replaced.
Because it's not available and they got a custom fabricated or something like that. I think I read somewhere in here.
Right. And when they couldn't see it because the transmission was on top of it. So when they took the vehicle apart, they said, oh, this needs to be replaced.
Okay. Councilman Napa, do you have anything? Okay. Okay. Questions? No. Any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2023-458, and I need a PCR, please. PCR 118-25. Okay, any questions on PCR 118-25? The administration has asked that we hold it. No questions. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? That is going to be held until 10.
Do we need to make a motion?
10:20.
Motion to hold till 10:20.
Second.
Okay.
Seconded by Napa.
And seconded by Councilman Napa. Any other questions? Council, any questions? Members of the public, no questions. I need a motion on PCR 118-25. And it's a held. I'm sorry, that's what I'm looking for, a vote. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we have four yeses on that. Seeing as the director is at the podium, I'm sorry, on the full. So give me a motion on the full, please.
Motion, move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right, we will move on to the abatements. The director is at the podium. Please, go ahead, director.
Good evening. Neil Dupuis, Director of Assessing. This month, we have abatements for you in the amount of $20,096.73. Again, the majority of them are new exemption applications. There are a few appeals that were also granted, mostly for small dollars, but we'll answer any questions that you might have.
Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion to approve the abatements.
Motion to approve the abatements. Second.
We have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Thank you. Finance Committee is adjourned at 5:36. Thank you. No, thank you.
Next up is the Public Safety Committee, and it is eligible to begin at this time.
Excuse me. So I have a question for the solicitor. So there are numerous PCRs that are, you know, in our binder, but they were not on the, you know, the bid package.
The
so
item?
We just hear those all at once, or my understanding is that they're going to be held.
The unfinished business from the October 6th, September 22nd meeting, those bids and other matters, per the rule, they were held to the calendar itself. So they all had committee hearing to some extent with a recommendation of those sorts. And then we ran out of time at the last meeting. Those items are on the full council agenda for later this evening for us to pick up where we left off at the last meeting.
All right, so we'll just deal with those and it goes to the full floor.
They're still kind of held from the floor from the last time.
All right, thank you.
It's 5:38 and the Public Safety Committee is now in session. May I get a motion to accept the minutes from the July 7th meeting?
Motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0.
Abstain.
3-0. Okay. Let's see, is that the only minutes? Or is there another one? That's it. Okay. All right, the first item on the agenda is PCR 10625, a resolution in regards to removing the yield signs on Bellevue Avenue where it intersects with Summit Street and installing a stop sign on Summit Street where it intersects on Bellevue Ave. I'll pass it to Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Recommend favorable action. This is supported by a traffic study.
Do we have any questions from the committee? Any questions or comments from the council? Any questions or comments from the public?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-0. All right, second item on the agenda is PCR 107-25, a resolution in regards to installing stop signs at the intersections of Underwood Avenue and Parkview Avenue, Richmond Drive, Beaufort Avenue and Newman Avenue / North Hampton Street. Councilman Ricks?
Thank you. Recommend favorable action, and I'll hold off further comments until the time of a motion.
Any questions by the committee? Any questions by the council? Any questions by the public? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
Move favorable action on PCR 107-25.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes. Okay. Third item is PCR 109-25, a resolution in regards to installing a stop sign on Grand Avenue where it intersects with Leroy Avenue. Councilman Lattiser?
Thank you, Chairman. I have requested and have received a traffic study with a favorable recommendation for the police department, and I would respectfully request favorable action.
Okay. Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions or comments from the public? Seeing none, may I have a motion?
Move favorable action on PCR 109-25.
Second. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes favorable action, 4-0. Item number four, PCR 110-25, a resolution in regards to installing stop signs on Spencer Woods Drive and on Deer Run Crossing, where each intersects with Major Potter Road. Councilman Gephardt, would you like to comment before?
Yeah, supported by a traffic study in the interest of public safety. So appreciate favorable action. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions or comments from the committee? Any questions or comments from the council? Any questions or comments from the public? Seeing none, may I have a motion?
Move favorable action on PCR 110-25.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes with favorable action. Recommended, I should say. Number five, PCR 113-25, resolution relative to Justin J. Claims. Is Justin J. here? Okay. Let me just pull it up. Give me one moment. So Justin J. had, Junita Gray.
No, which one? Justin J.
Oh, Justin J. My apologies. Okay. Justin J. at 442 Fairview Avenue hit a pothole on Coyle Street, causing damage to the tire. The claim request was for $364.49 for two tires. The claim was not approved because the it was not filled out within 7 days. However, looking at the paperwork that was signed, the date of the incident was 6/23/25 at 4:15, and the signature of the claimant was at 6/26/25. And then it was notarized on July 28th. So I believe the claim rejection within the 7 days was not appropriate, but I'll leave it to comments on the committee.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll also add that with the rest of the packet, it does show a receipt for June 30th, which would be within 7 days, that something at least was mailed in to the city. the city would know precisely what was mailed in. And so generally when interpreting the law in these kinds of situations, we look at the mailbox rule. That is, we look at the day that this was actually mailed in to the city. That doesn't apply to every circumstance. There are exceptions to what day counts, doesn't count, but I think that the law that's being cited here refers to claims being made within a period of 7 days from the date that damage was sustained. So seems reasonable that if someone mails it in, has the receipt from the post office, certified mail showing all of that, seems to be within the 7 days. Not to overanalyze all of this, but I don't think that the 7 day rule should preclude this particular claim. And so I think that we should evaluate it based on its merits.
Chairman Lattice, sir.
Thank you, Chairman. So I'm seeing a different thing here. I'm seeing the date of the incident on June 23rd. And it said the first from, this is the position from DPW, says the first document from the claim was not received until July 2nd, 9 days after the incident. What I see here is a postal receipt dated June 30th for mailing this item with a tracking number. Is that what, to the chair, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Councilman?
It is. So,
okay.
If I may, my reading of the statute, my general understanding of how notice works in these circumstances is that the critical date isn't necessarily the day that the city actually receives it, but the day that the person puts it in the mailbox. But of course, I don't claim to be an expert on it, and I don't know if there's any case law out there or not when it comes to this. This is just my opinion based on some general background. It's not a legal opinion.
So on the affidavit that we have from Mr. J, that is stamped, I'm assuming it's been received by the city. It says received on July 28th. So I don't know what I'm missing on this. And the quote that we have in the package says the date of the estimate, at least from Pep Boys, was July 28th, 2025. There's one from Town Fair Tire, okay, that was on June 24th. Okay. Go ahead.
Through the chair, thank you. I do see that there's a letter issued by the City of Warwick Finance Department on July 2nd. It notes that three items were insufficient. So it looks like those three items, they were only submitted and received after that July 2nd letter. And it looks like that's why they're stamped July 28th. I think that for the purpose of the notice requirement, with the notice requirement itself, it's more about making sure that the claimant is getting that information in within 7 days, that the information that there was an accident, so as to discourage people from remembering back months earlier as to exactly which pothole they hit that could have caused some damage. Kind of an anti-fraud measure, but the 7 days, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have to absolutely perfect the claim. Might not be reasonable for people to necessarily get the two additional estimates on top of the invoice, and also all of the other technical information within that initial 7 days. So my thinking is that it's sufficient that the claimant put the city, did enough to put the city on notice, then came back with the three other items that the city told him that he would have to produce, did that within a month of the city informing him. So for those reasons, I think it's appropriate for us to examine this on its merits. And I don't want to jump to any conclusion on that, because while I think that there might be enough information here for us to come to a conclusion, in addition to the invoice north of $300, there were also the two estimates also north of $300. But I would, of course, respect if this committee or the city council had concerns, had some questions that the claimant should be answering before we're comfortable proceeding with granting a claim. So I don't want to necessarily take a position one way or another, because I do think that a fair amount of information has been provided, but I also want to respect my colleagues in terms of any questions that they'd want to ask the claimant directly.
Any other questions, comments from the committee? Any questions or comments from the council? Any questions or comments from the public? Okay, actually, I need to go back. I think our limits are 300. And this is for two tires. And were two tires damaged? That's one thing I did not notice.
It's my understanding that it's limited at $300 per incident.
Incident, okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would also point out on the claim form that Councilman Ricks noted was received in that window to, so as to put the city on notice, the claimant is requesting an amount less than our $300 cap. They are requesting an amount of $182.25. I don't see where that number substantiates itself, but that is the requested amount by the claimant on the form that was timely filed.
Well, I can do the math on that one for you. The total of the two tires was $364.49, so it looks like you just divided that by two for one tire.
Okay.
So, I'm sorry, solicitor. What was that amount? It was 182.
182 and 25 cents.
25. Okay, perfect. Thank you. So, do I have a motion for a favorable action to pay $182.25 for this claim?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed. Thank you. All right. Now, last, I hope that's the last one on this. PCR 114-25, resolution relative to Juanita Gray's claim. And let me get her claim up. So, this claim is for damage that was done on the July 3rd storm for her, looks like her chain link fence, and she is looking for a reimbursement amount of $1,190.70. The decision was, I know it was here somewhere, that the claim was denied due to the city does not accept responsibility for damages to personal property from the significant summer storm. There is no negligence on the part of the city. So I will open it up to any comments from the committee. Chairman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to preface my comments by saying what I'm going to be putting in the record, which is an email that I received from my constituent, Ms. Gray, as well as some of my own observations, have nothing to do or no reflection on the city clerk's office, nor any reflection on the legislative branch, city council. I want to make sure everybody's clear on that. This is the email I received from my constituent last night. I live on the eastern end of Sandy Lane. My yard backs up to city land. From the storm of July 3rd, a tree on city property came down. The top of the tree landed on my chain link fence, damaging four sections. I looked up how to file a claim with the city, filed the instructions, and submitted the claim on August 1st. I received a letter dated September 1st, Labor Day, denying my claim. The reason given, the decision was based on the recommendation from the department involved and information provided by you. That did not tell me why it was denied. I expected and wanted a reason that addressed the tree falling on and damaging my fence, so I filed an appeal. I was told I would receive a letter telling me when my appeal would be heard at the city council meeting. I did not receive a letter, but I saw my name on the agenda for October 6th. Clicking on my name revealed a quote unquote recommendation memo that stated, "This department does not accept responsibility for damage to personal property from this significant summer storm. There was no negligence on the part of the city." Reading the specific reason for the denial in this letter allowed me to research further the city's responsibility when there was damage to private property. Had this reason been in the first letter, I would not have appealed the decision. I called the city clerk on Friday, was transferred to Joanne, and left a voicemail message that I would not be at the city council meeting on the 6th, as there was no reason to appeal a claim. I'm sending this information to you not as a complaint, but in the hope that when a complaint is denied, the reason will be specific to the circumstance and the right of the citizen to know. I spoke with this lady earlier today, and let me restate that, communicated with her via email. And again, she reiterated the same thing. She says, listen, I would have never filed the claim had this been disclosed to me. I have, and it's kind of interesting because on the claim we just heard, the denial letter is actually pretty appropriate. Other than that, it's not signed by anyone. I think whoever claims administration is, I have no idea who that is. There should be, I would think, a contact person for anyone to call. It says, once the above information is received, your claim can be processed. If you have any questions, please call 921-9641. I think it would be appropriate to have the name of whomever claims administration is on there. Now, I don't have an issue with the appeals. As a matter of fact, I had voted in support of that change, and it made sense to me then, and it made sense to me now. These claims go before the Department of Public Works. They're right in the know of what's going on or what's not going on. And I think they're in the best position to make a decision on that claim. However, when these letters, and I have one here which I've scratched out the name of the person, and then I have also the one from my constituent, and it simply says, "Dear Juanita, this letter is to inform you that your claim against the city of Warwick was denied. This decision was based on the recommendation from the department involved and information provided by you. The claim is now closed." I think that this process and the notification particularly needs to be more like the one that I read in the record earlier, from Mr. J. The people, they're gonna just assume that, okay, so, you know, I'm gonna make an appeal. They make an appeal, and then they get this letter. That doesn't tell them anything. It doesn't tell them why their claim was denied. It doesn't tell them from, you know, which department. It just says the claim is now closed, and it's from claims administration, and it's not signed. This is why we will continue to have problems with this if the explanations are not provided to the claimant as to why their claim was denied. The other thing on the bottom of this, and whoever was here when we voted to change these rules, you can correct me if you'd like. I don't recall anyone from the city council or in the agreement that we had that we put this paragraph in. And I'd like to know who put this paragraph in and why. It says, you may appeal the above determination of your claim by contacting the city clerk's office at 738-2006 or in person at Warwick City Hall. I don't understand how the city clerk's office got designated as the appointee for filing a claim. So anyways, this long-winded response is simply to bring attention to what I consider some things that need to be improved. I agree, it's new, it's a new process, it's a moving target, but if we don't bring these things up and we don't have discussions on them, then they're not gonna get fixed. So the lady is not looking to appeal the claim. Her sole purpose of reaching out to the city and contacting me was about the notification and the process. And that's why I'm putting that out there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman. Any other comments? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. A couple of things. I think that first, I do concur with Councilman Lattiser. I think that this process could be improved on with some of these notices. The rationale in the denial, for instance, I don't think that an appropriate reason for the denial is simply because the tree happened to go down during a, quote, significant summer storm. Three-word phrase that's used there. If a tree is diseased, if a tree is... well, thank you. Yeah, just referring to the statement in the recommendation to us as a council, not to the lack of that type of statement, any type of statement, there in the actual notice to the constituent. But even as to that explanation there, simply because a tree goes down during a significant summer storm doesn't mean that the city wasn't negligent. If the city had knowledge that that tree was in rough shape and it happens to go down during a significant storm, claim shouldn't be denied. Here, it seems that I haven't heard any information on the constituent stating that they previously reported this tree. I would say that the city also has some duty here to go around, take a look at some of these different trees, especially the ones that are more visible. Here, it looks like this tree would have been on some land that's very difficult to access. So I think it would be incumbent on the homeowner, if there were any signs that that tree was at risk of falling or diseased or what have you, then it's incumbent on the homeowner to go ahead and report that to the city. You can't necessarily expect for the city to go along Bucky Brook and look at all of the different trees along the different property lines. On the other hand, I think about the other claim that we handled. The statute that was referred to actually is the statute that's on point for claims against the state, as opposed to specifically citing the statute that applies to municipalities. So I think that there are some, that there's some room for improvement here on some of the recommendations, some of the notices and the like. But unless I hear anything about the city being put on notice of the danger of this particular tree, I would agree that it would be appropriate for the city, that is the city council, to sustain the department's recommendation here for $0.
Councilman Lattison.
Thank you, Chairman. To Councilman Ricks's point, I had that conversation with my constituent, again, via email earlier today, and I'd asked her, had she reported anything to DPW ever? And she didn't. Was there a rotted tree there? And she said no. And I think everyone knows that, you know, I certainly will go to the wall to fight and defend for my constituents, but, you know, there's also things when, you know, you simply can't do it. This property, this tree also happened to be in a backyard. So there's no way, you know, I'm going to expect DPW to be, you know, trooping around trying to find a tree. So anyhow, to that point, I did have that conversation with my constituent. And again, she's not looking for approval in this. She is looking for changes to the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from the committee? So I'll just add one observation, and this is a strong recommendation to the administration, that you could have gotten 8 minutes back in your life if we had better communication to our constituents. So I'm sorry?
Did I do it by proceeding?
It's not up to me.
Oh, solicitor, can the clerk comment?
If you don't want me to, you can say no.
As a public?
As long as it's legally permissible, it's the decision of the chair at the time. You're the chair.
The chair has been granted some latitude as it relates to discussing the process, but we really should maintain ourselves to the bid at hand.
Okay. I'll allow a brief overview to add to the context.
I just want to clarify Councilman Lattice's indication that not unsure where it's coming from that you report to the city clerk office on a appeal. The ordinance was passed saying that the appeal goes to the city clerk's office. That's what's in the ordinance. We definitely have a problem with the way that's written. I don't know if I'm out of line here, but it needs to be revisited. There is no clear way for people to do this. And the blame always gets pointed back at my office. And I understand you said that it wasn't falling on us. However, that's what it always turns back as. The clerk's office isn't doing what they should be doing. And that's not the case. So I just want to make it clear that the ordinance does indicate it has to come to the clerk's office. And that's as far as it goes. After that, the president is to docket it. And there is no clear procedure following after that.
Thank you. We'll take a note on that. Any questions from the council? Councilman DeLuise.
Yeah, I have a question. Does anybody know if this woman has insurance?
I'm not sure on that, Councilman. We didn't get to that part of the conversation. I will discuss that with her. Typically, insurance will not pay a claim when a tree falls on your property that's on another property. And through that,
right. So she said that the tree was on state property.
City property.
Well, somebody said state property. All right. Anyway, I've had claims and that were denied also because of storms and such. So I know how that goes. But I don't know where to go with this one.
Thank you.
I don't think the city's responsible.
Great. Thank you. Any other comments from the council? Any comments or questions from the public? Seeing none, may I have a motion of denial of appeal?
So moved.
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
4-0. Okay, that concludes the business for the Public Safety Committee, and the time is 6:11.
Next up is the Intergovernmental Committee.
Seriously, that's a good point. That's all I need. Absolutely. Sometimes if you something to make it lighter. Sir.
Shouldn't they sign that stuff and give an explanation?
Yeah.
Why it was denied?
That's what I just got done. No, they didn't. That's what I just got done putting in the record. That needs to be done. Somebody needs to sign it, and it needs to be stated why the denial is, why Jack is being denied.
Well, that probably is, we should have given $500. There's no reason.
But in this case,